We're going to learn together from Lakutei Sichas Chelek Yud Aleph, the first sicha on Parshas Tetzaveh. This sicha was said by the Rebbe and the Farbrengen of Shabbos Parshas Tetzaveh Tovshin Chof Hei. Tovshin Chof Hei was a shnas ha'avelus. The Rebbe was in avelus for his mother, Rebbe Tzanchana Aleha Hashalom, who was nistalik on Vov Tishrei. And throughout the year, in honor of his mother, the Rebbe began to say what we refer to today as Rashi Sichas. In the beginning, in the first year, the Rashi Sichas focused primarily on the first and last Rashi of every Parsha, ad kedei kach that it was not clear during the year of Avelus if these Sichas would even continue beyond the year of Avelus. But Baruch Hashem, through different Isarusa de Lasatas, they did, and we were zoicha over the years to many thousands of Rashi Sichas. And this one is a classic type A Rashi Sicha of the Rebbe. The Rebbe will explain the Rashi on three levels. First, five Seifim in Pshat, Seif Vav in Yonim Mufloim al Derech HaAlocha, and a Sugi which is relevant to Kol HaToyra Kula, and then an Ois Zayin, the final Ois, connected to in Yonim of Yenishal Torah, and the way it's explained according to Chassidus. The Sicha focuses on the first Rashi in the Parsha. The first Rashi on the Pasuk Va'ata Tetzav is Bnei Yisrael. The Eibushter tells Moshe, you command the Jewish people. You give them a mitzvah. The mitzvah was v'yikhu elecho shemen zayis zoch kosis lamor, that the Eden should bring Moshe Rabbeinu oil, which was from an olive. It was shemen zayis zoch, pure kosis. It was crushed. The olives were crushed. Lamor for the menorah lahalis ner tamid, for the candles to burn constantly. On this pasuk in the Dibur Amaschel of Rashi, Rashi quotes three words from the pasuk. The three words v'ato tetzave zach, and Rashi says Bli shmorim, that zach means the oil could not contain any sediments, could not contain any pieces of olive. It had to be pure oil. K'moisha shaninu b'menachas, as Rashi says, as we learned in Masechta Menachas, megargaroi b'roish hazayis v'chulu, that the olives were collected, they were harvested from the top of the olive tree. I'm not going to get into the questions that the Rebbe asks in this Rashi. There's about 15 questions, including the Ha'oros that the Rebbe poses on this eight-word Rashi. Suffice it for now to say that it's obvious that Rashi isn't coming to simply tell us that the meaning here is that the oil cannot contain pieces of olives. Number one, that's obviously what zach means. It's obvious that pure oil doesn't contain pieces of olive. Number two, for this, it's not necessary to bring down the Dibur HaMaschal, the words Vata Tetzave. Number three, it's not necessary to bring a proof of Menachas. Number four, it's not necessary to talk about olives at the top of an olive tree. If that's simply what Rashi would be saying, none of this would be necessary. So there's obviously something else. Was Brento. There's obviously something else going on here, which Rashi is coming to address. What is that? The Sicha focuses around the point that there is a machloikus between Rashi and the Evan Ezra in how to understand and explain the word zach in the posuk. The Evan Ezra argues that the way the Torah structures the posuk, the way that Torah structures the words in the posuk, teaches us that the word zach does not refer to the oil. The word zach refers to the olive. And so, according to the Evan Ezra, the words shemen, zayis, zoch, kosis are translated literally and very geschmack. We mean the oil of an olive which is pure and crushed. If zach, argues the Evan Ezra, would not be referring to the olive, if zach, argues the Evan Ezra, would not be referring to the olive, if it would be referring to the oil, then the Torah wouldn't put the word zach between the word zayis and the word kosis, because kosis means crushed. The word crushed obviously is not referring to the oil. The word crushed is obviously referring to the olive. So it says if the zayis is kosis, then why is the Torah putting the word zach in between zayis and kosis? Obviously, the word zach also refers to the zayis, and this is the most geschmacka way of reading the pasuk. Shemen zayis zoch kosis, an oil from an olive which is pure and crushed. What does it mean that an olive is pure? Simple, says the Evan Ezra. An olive which is pure means that the olive does not have any part of it that is decayed. It's not a zayis me'upash. There's no part of the olive which is rotten. There's no part of the olive which is me'uchal, which has been pecked at, which has been eaten by birds or insects. Rather, it is Azayis Zach. This is the Shita of the Evan Ezra. According to the Evan Ezra, it's not sufficient when we have oil, when we get oil that is for the menorah, it's not sufficient that the oil be pure. It's necessary that the Zayis, the Torah is telling us, Shemen Zayis Zach, the Zayis has to be a pure olive. We have to make sure that the olive that we're crushing is Milachatchila, an olive which is a Zayis Zach, which is not decayed, and which is not eaten, and which is not pecked at in any way. This is the Shita of the Evan Ezra. The Rebbe explains that this is definitely, as far as the wording of the Pasuk is concerned, the most glatt, the most geschmack, the most straightforward way of teaching the words Shemen Zayis Zoch Kosis. Explains the Rebbe, the first Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh, even before Rashi begins to comment, has already assumed that we're going to learn Pshat the way in the Pasuk like the Evan Ezra, or that we might learn Pshat like the Evan Ezra in the Pasuk. And so Rashi's Gekumen Shrayin Chai V'Kayom, that this cannot be Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi argues, says the Rebbe. Rashi holds the word Zach is not referring to the Zayas. Rashi holds the word Zach is referring to the Shemen. I, the Torah, puts the word Zach between Zayas and Kosis, between the olive and crushing. Says Rashi, we're going to have to give a doichak dike pshat here in the Pasuk, and we're going to have to say that Shemen, Zayis, Zoch, Kosis means that first the Torah is giving you two details in the Shemen. The Shemen has to be Shemen Zayis, from an olive, and it has to be pure. And then the Torah is telling us, Kosis, how do we get this oil which is pure? We get it from crushing the olive. But even though this is the Dochuk to Kipshat, Rashi is going to insist, Zach refers to the Shemen, not to the Zayis. This is the Nakuda that the entire Sicha focuses around, the Machloikis between Rashi and the Evan Ezra, where the Zach refers to the Zayis like the Evan Ezra holds, or where the Zach refers to the Shemen like Rashi holds. Rashi will bring, explains the Rebbe, three proofs that the word Zach has to refer to the oil and not to the olive. Ve'elohein, these are the proofs. Number one, the first proof explains the Rebbe, Lashitas Rashi, that Zach refers to the Shemen and not to the Zayis, is taka from the opening words, Va'ata Tetzaveh, which is the reason why Rashi makes these two words, Va'ata Tetzaveh, part of his Dibur HaMaschil, even though B'lachayra, he's not explaining them. He's explaining the word Zach. Zach means B'li Shmorim. Zach means without pieces. Again, according to Rashi, Zach is referring to the oil. The oil has to be B'lishmorim. But what's that got to do with V'ata Tetzaveh? Why does Rashi put V'ata Tetzaveh in the Dibur HaMaschil? Explains the Rebbe, because the words V'ata Tetzaveh is Rashi's proof, number one, that Zach refers to the oil. We teach Zach B'lishmorim and not to the olive itself. What's the proof from V'ata Tetzaveh? V'ata Tetzaveh just means you should command. How do you see from that whether the oil should be pure or whether the olive should be pure? Explains the Rebbe, Zeir Poshet. What's Va'ata Tetzaveh? The Eibishter comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, you are now going to give the Jewish people a mitzvah, a new mitzvah, one they didn't have before. Okay. A new mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give the Yidden is being given to the Yidden now. Where are the Yidden now? Now the Yidden are in the Midbar. They're in the desert. Zok Rashi, in the desert there are no olives, in the desert there are no trees, and in the desert there's no oil. It's just a desert. There's nothing there. It's Eretz Lo Yizruah. So how do you come to the Yidden in the middle of a desert and say, Herzachayin Yidden, there's a mitzvah to bring me oil. Where are they supposed to get the oil from? Elomai, obviously, you have to say, that the Yidden anticipated this, and they brought with them oil from Mitzrayim. They knew, they had a sense, or they were told that they were going to be called upon in the Midbar to give oil. And so they brought with them oil from Mitzrayim. And now they have the oil, and now they're going to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yikru elecha shemen. Nu, says Rashi, think. They're coming to Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert with oil, and Moshe Rabbeinu is taking it from them for the menorah. Is there any way, by looking at the oil that the Jewish people are going to give Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, is there any way by looking at the oil to know what kind of an olive this oil came from? Is there any way by looking at the oil to know whether the olive that was crushed in order to produce this oil was partially decayed? was pecked at by an insect or a bird? How are you ever going to know that? By looking at the oil. Impossible. By looking at the oil, you can tell whether the oil is pure or not. You can tell whether the shemen is zach or not. But you cannot tell whether the zayis that produced the shemen is zach or not. No way. So how, argues Rashi, how can the Ibn Ezra say that the word zachir is referring to the zayis? Vos zayis, there's no zaysim here. We're in the middle of the desert. The Yidden are going to bring oil which they brought with them from Mitzrayim. If they're bringing with them oil that they, if they're giving oil that they brought with them from Mitzrayim, there's no way to touch that zach here refers to the zayis, because all we have is oil, and there's no way by looking at the oil to be makayim this mitzvah now of making sure that it comes from a zayis zach. Impossible. And so this is Rashi's first proof that zach has to refer to the oil and not to the zayis. Continues the Rebbe. A Talmud memulach, a sharp-witted and insightful Talmud, a Talmud who thinks, is going to argue this point with Rashi and say, wait a second, one second. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Yidden this mitzvah in the desert. It's true that at this time the Jews find themselves in the Midbar, but this mitzvah doesn't end when the Jewish people are in the Midbar. This mitzvah of the Yidden bringing oil to the menorah, which was Shemen Zayis, Zach Kosis Lamor, this mitzvah would go on for hundreds of years. This mitzvah would go on for the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael. It would go on for the Bayis Rishon. It would go on for the Bayis Sheni. For 1,300 years, this mitzvah would go on. So why, says the Talmud, can I not say that although at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the mitzvah, itaki wasn't possible to know whether the Shemen was from a Zayis Zach or not, but maybe the Torah, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the mitzvah this way, so that eventually when they would get into Eretz Yisrael, which happened to be 40 years later, eventually when they got there, and in Eretz Yisrael there would be olive trees, and there they would be able to choose which types of olives they would use for the menorah and which not. So now the Torah is telling us, when you have an opportunity, you'll use Zayizuch. Now in the Midbar, all we have is Shemen. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah would continue to apply for hundreds of years. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, when you have an opportunity, then you'll use Shemen Zayizuch. In other words, the Talmud is arguing, why do I have to kvetch aina dochuk dikepshat in the pasuk? That the word zach, which appears between zayis and kosis, is not referring to the zayis or to kosis. It's referring to the shemen, which is in the earlier part of the pasuk. Let's say that zach is referring to zayis. True, at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu gave this mitzvah, they couldn't fulfill this part of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah was nevertheless given this way, so that l'chsheyarchiv, when they do get to Eretz Yisrael, and they do have olive trees, and they do conquer the land, and they are able to do it, then they would do the mitzvah in this way. Then they would do the mitzvah in the best possible way, with a zayis zach. Now in the Midbar, you do the best you can. When you can do better, you do better. Why can't I argue that, says Rashi, that's an unacceptable explanation. Because we know from later on that the word tzaveh means ein tzav, what Rashi will say later in Parshas Tzav, ein tzav elo miyad uledoiras. The expression tzav applies immediately and for future generations. Ubamele, since here in Parshas Tzaveh the Pasuk uses the Loshen tzav, I cannot say that there is any detail in this mitzvah which would only be able to be fulfilled later on in the future. I cannot say that. I have to touch the posuk miyadu ledoiris. I have to touch the posuk in such a way where every part of the posuk and every part of the mitzvah applies immediately now and for future generations, but first and foremost now. Ubameila, since there is a detail here called zach, and the Jewish people find themselves in the Midbar, in which case there's no way to know whether the oil is coming from a Zayis Zach or not, I have to, concludes Rashi Taich, that the word Zach refers to the oil, not to the olive, and this way, by looking at the oil, even in the Midbar, Miyad, immediately in the Midbar, the Yidden were able to be Makayim, this mitzvah of Shemen Zayis Zach. They were able to be Makayim, the Zach part as well, because the Zach applies to the oil and not to the olive. And so says, explains the Rebbe, this is the first proof of Rashi v'ato tetzaveh, that since it was a new mitzvah, which was given now, and it applied immediately miyad, in the Midbar there's no way to be makayim zayis zach. I have to say that the zach is shemen zach, not zayis zach. Continues the Rebbe, there's still a problem. The Talmud, the Evan Ezra, is still going to argue that Zach could still refer to Zayas. Aye, how could Zach refer to Zayas in a Midbar? Says the Rebbe, I'll tell you how. The proof of Atat Tzave is insufficient, not complete. There's still al kaponim b'doichak. There's still a way to argue the proof. How are you going to argue the proof? Says the Rebbe, I'll tell you how. Here it is. We said before that the Jewish people had oil in the desert because they brought it with them from Mitzrayim. Why did they bring oil with them from Mitzrayim? What do they need oil for in the desert? Besides, the Pasuk says, Tzeido lo yosu lehem. When the Eden left Mitzrayim, they didn't take provisions with them. They just went. Lech techacharai b'midbar. They followed Eibishter with Emunah and Bitochen. So why did they take oil with them? Obviously, they knew that they were going to be called upon in the desert to give the oil to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Mishkan and to Hashem. Nuzak the Rebbe, the Evan Ezra, will argue, just like you can say that the Yidden knew when they were all beforehand, when they were still in Mitzrayim, that they're going to need oil in the desert, and they brought it with them to give to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. So I'll argue that just like they knew they needed oil, they knew that they needed oil from Isaiah Zach. Ubamela, when they collected oil in Mitzrayim that they knew they were going to give for the Mishkan, they made sure, milachatchila, that this oil came only from Zeisim Zakim. And they had specifically prepared from beforehand oil, which they knew came from Zeisim, from olives, which were not rotten, and which were not decayed, and which were not pecked at, and which were not eaten, no part of them at all. And this was the oil they were planning to give to the Mishkan. So even though in the Midbar it's takenot shayach, and even though by looking at the oil you cannot tell what kind of zayis it came from, maybe, says the Rebbe, Evan Ezra will argue, you don't need to know what kind of an olive the oil comes from by looking at it in the desert. The Yidden would have perhaps known this already before, and milachatchila from beforehand, from Mitzrayim, made sure to take specifically for this purpose oil which came from Zeisim Zakim, from whole and pure olives. What's the raya from Ba'atat Tzave? That only the oil has to be pure and not the zayis. Maybe when Moshe Rabbeinu came to them Ba'atat Tzave, the Yidden already had prepared from beforehand oil from Zeisim Zakim. Ubamela, there is a problem with the raya of Ba'atat Tzave. Explains the Rebbe, because of this possible problem with the raya of Ba'atat Tzave, that's why Rashi brings a second proof. What's the second proof? And the Nakuda bepashtus here of this raya is that the Mishnah Masechta Menachos explains Shloisha Zeisim Beilon, an olive tree is harvested in three stages. Why is it in three stages? Because the olives on the olive tree ripen in three stages. At first, the first olives that ripen are the Zeisim Sheberoi Sho'ilon, the olives at the top of the tree. They ripen first because they're exposed to the most sunlight. And so they were harvested first. The second group of olives which were harvested were the olives from the middle of the tree, which ripen second because it takes time for them to receive sufficient sunlight in order for them to ripen. And then finally, thirdly, the zeisim, the olives at the bottom of the ilon, they ripened last. They actually never fully ripened at all because they never got sufficient sunlight, and so they were harvested third. And the Mishnah says that each group of olives was pressed, was oil was extracted from each group of olives three times, and so you have altogether nine stages of producing oil. Rishoin sheberishoin, says the Mishnah. The first oil that came out from the olives which were harvested at the top of the tree, in the words of the Mishnah Menachos, Ein l'maylo himeno. This was the most superior and the most elite and the best quality type of oil, al kaponim for the menorah, this was the choicest. The oil which was collected from the olives which were harvested from the top of the tree, Megargarei b'roish hazayis. Nu, Zokt Rashi, I'll give you one more final proof that Zach refers to olives, is that Zach, refers to oil and not to olives. What's the proof? The proof is Megargarei Bereish HaZayis. What's Megargarei Bereish HaZayis proof? Just that olives were harvested from the top of the olive tree because that's where they ripened first. Yes, says Rashi, true. But think, if the Evan Ezra is right, and olives which have been pecked at or which have been eaten or which have partially decayed are not kosher to be used, not kosher to squeeze for the menorah, if the Evan Ezra is right, then the olives on the top of the tree are not the best olives for the menorah, but the worst olives for the menorah. Why the worst olives for the menorah? Because the olives at the top of the tree, they are the ones that are going to be pecked at, and they're the ones that are going to be eaten the most. Because birds fly in the heavens, and birds, when they land and when they eat from trees, they land at the top of the trees first. So the zeisim sheberoi shazayis are going to be pecked at and eaten from the most, more than any other group of olives in the olive tree. The zeisim at the top will be eaten from the most. But if the Evan Ezra is right, that zach refers to the zayis, that it's important that the zayis itself be zach and not eaten, then the zeisim sheberoi shazayis are not the best, but they're the worst. Because they have the most decay, the most, they're eaten from the most. And since the Gemara Masechta Menachos says Megargarei Bereish HaZayis, that these olives are harvested first and they are the best, obviously, says Rashi, I rest my case. We must say that Zach refers to the oil and not to the olives. It doesn't matter, says Rashi, whether the olives are pure or not. It doesn't matter whether they're eaten, whether they're pecked at or not. You can take the olives from the top of the tree. If the birds ate from them, the birds ate from them. Who cares? Doesn't matter. As long as you squeeze them properly and extract oil b'li shmorim, without pieces, k'moy sheshaninu b'menachos megargarei bereish HaZayis, you take the olives from the top, even if they're eaten from, it's fine, as long as the oil is b'li shmorim, you have a kiyum of the mitzvah of the Torah. Shemen zayis zach, according to Rashi, which refers to the oil and not to the olives. This is the third and final proof of Rashi, as explained in the Sicha. The Rebbe continues and explains that this machlokes between Rashi and the Evan Ezra is not only relevant to how you explain Zach in the Pasuk of Ata Tetzav. It's not just a particular machlokes whether the oil had to be pure or whether even the olive had to be pure. Actually, there's an inyan here, there's a sugya here that affects kol haTorah kula, every mitzvah in the Torah. We know that in addition to being Makayim mitzvahs, there's also something called Hidur mitzvah, or in the words of the Rambam, quoting from a pasuk, kol chelev lahavaya. Whenever you do something for the sake of kedusha, whenever you give something to Hashem, there's an obligation, there's a mitzvah. There's a concept that in addition to doing what you're obligated to do, one should go the extra mile and do even more than you're obligated to do. Like lifnim mishuras adin, or again in the words of the Rambam, kol chelev lahavaya. You do more than you're supposed to. Now the question becomes, how far does this concept, does this obligation of kol chelav lavai of hidur mitzvah, how far does hidur mitzvah go? Does it apply only at the time that you're doing the mitzvah? Does this chiyuv of hidur mitzvah of kol chelav lavai, does it begin at the time of the kiyum of the mitzvah? Or does it begin before, even when you're preparing the materials for the mitzvah? Here we have a machloikis, explains the Rebbe, between Rashi and the Evan Ezra. The Evan Ezra holds that not only are you obligated to make sure that the material that you're using for the mitzvah be of superior quality, kol chelav lahavaya, but even the materials that you're going to use to produce the materials that you're going to use for the sake of the mitzvah, those materials also have to be of superior quality, kol chelav lahavaya. Hidur mitzvah applies to that as well. The obligation, according to the Evan Ezra, begins not just at the time that you're doing or giving the mitzvah. The obligation begins even at the time that you're preparing or selecting the material from which you're going to take the materials that you're going to use for the sake of the mitzvah. In the case of our context, not just does the oil have to be of superior quality, but even the olives that you're going to use to squeeze in order to produce from them oil, those olives have to also be of superior and best quality, not eaten, not rotten, not damaged in any way. even though there's no actual difference in the oil itself. Whether the oil comes from a rotten, partially rotten olive or a completely not rotten olive, either way the oil is the same. Zog de Eben Ezra, not enough that the oil is of superior quality, even the olive itself also has to be of superior quality, kol chelev lahavaya. That's the sheet of the Eben Ezra. On the other hand, Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, no, if there's not going to be any difference in the actual oil, if there's not going to be any difference, b'shas hanasin, at the time that you give it to Hashem, if there's not going to be any difference in the material that you're using for the sake of the mitzvah, then you're not obligated to make sure that even the material used to create, to produce the materials that you're going to use for the sake of the mitzvah, that those also should be kol chelav la'avaya, that those also should be of superior quality. The mitzvah of the chiyuv of hider mitzvah, according to Rashi, doesn't go that far. It extends to the oil and not to the olive. So again, the machloikas between Rashi and the Eben Ezra, in the broader sense, is how far does the chiyuv of hider mitzvah go? Does it go only to the materials used for the mitzvah itself, shitas Rashi, or does it go even to the original material used to produce the things that you're going to use for the sake of the mitzvah, shitas Eben Ezra, even if that's not going to make any practical difference in the material used for the mitzvah itself? This is a very general machloikas that the Rebbe sees in this machloikas between Rashi and the Eben Ezra, where the zach applies only to the oil, like shitas Rashi, or even to the olives, like shitas Eben Ezra. And then, in the end of the Sicha, the Rebbe explains this, al derech achsidus. Al derech achsidus yeina shel Torah, says the Rebbe, it's not the pshat that according to Rashi, the zayis is not important. It's not pshat that the hider mitzvah, that the chiyuv doesn't extend all the way to the zayis. It's not the pshat that the zayis is insignificant. Quite the contrary. According to chsidus, according to Rashi, the zayis represents something so high, the zayis represents something so great, something so eliki, something so godly, that in the zayis it's not shayach for there to be a pgam milachatchila. It's not shayach for there to be anything missing in the concept of zayis the way Rashi sees it altogether. And this is the deeper reason, according to Chassidus, why according to Rashi, zach only applies to the oil and not to the olive, because the olive, you don't need to make sure that the olive is zach. The olive is zach anyways. What does that mean? Zayis, the Gemara says, is bitter. The bitterness of the zayis represents beruchnis, the concept of choshech, the concept of darkness. Now, in choshech, now in darkness, you have two types. You have what we call choshech shalamato me'or, and you have choshech shalamayla me'or. Choshech shalamato me'or, choshech, which is darker than or, means that it's dark because the or hasn't reached there. It's dark because there's an absence of or. It's dark in the sense that there is no light to illuminate the darkness. It's just a plain choshech. This type of choshech represents general terms, sitra achro klipa, where the or liki, the or of kedusha, did not reach, cannot permeate, and therefore it's a concept of choshech. This is according to the Eben Ezra, the concept of zayis, a choshech shalamata me'or. And therefore, what do you do with the zayis, the same as you do regularly with klipa, with sitra achra? You take it in your koitash as zayis. You take it and you do iskafya. You torture the olive, you torture the zayis, you torture the choshech, in order to transform it and elevate it and make it a keli, give it a shaychas to lakus and to godliness. Wait a second, says the Eben Ezra, slow down. Not every zayis, not every oil can be made a keli for lakus. Not every oil can be taken and beaten and transformed and used for something positive. Before you take the zayis and squash it in order to use it for a mitzvah, you have to make sure that the zayis is a zayis zach. You have to make sure that it's pure. You have to make sure that it's edel. You have to make sure that it's refined. You have to make sure that it has a shtikel ashaychas, at least a little bit of a shaychas, in order to be able to then take it and transform it into kedusha. On the other hand, if it's a zayis she'enai zach, if it's an impure zayis, if it's eaten, if it's pecked at, etc., etc., then it's too far, the choshech is too thick, the choshech is too coarse. The absence of godliness is too powerful. You're not going to be able to take this and transform it into a keli, transform it into a lakus. This zayis has to be discarded. And so the Eben Ezra learns, so we learn pshat according to the Eben Ezra, that the Zayis, which represents Choshech in the literal sense, Choshech Shalamata Meyoir, can only be transformed to a Lakus, can only be made part of a mitzvah if it's a Zayizach. Well, Bamela, the Torah says, be careful before you take a Zayis and start squashing it in order to produce from it oil to use for a mitzvah. Make sure it's a Zayizach. If it's not a Zayizach, there's nothing you're going to be able to do with it. You're wasting your time and effort. Certain Nyonim and Klippa have to be rejected completely. Mashenkin, according to Rashi, we're not talking about Choshech Shalamata Meyoir, we're talking about Choshech Shalamayla Meyoir. Rashi sees in the Zayis not Choshech in the negative sense, but Choshech in the positive sense. What's Choshech in the positive sense? What's Choshech Shalamayla Meyoir? In Chassidus, it's discussed at great length that ultimately, even Oyer, even light, is a Helam Behester, is a concealment in the Lakus. Because Hashem Himself is beyond and greater and higher, even in the greatest level of Oyer. Even the highest level of Oyer ultimately is too poor, is insufficient to express the true greatness, the true Amitius of Elokus. Where does the Eibishter, so to speak, feel comfortable? Where can the Eibishter truly be found? Yoshes Choshech Sisroi, the Eibishter hides in Choshech, hides in a place where nothing is even trying to express him, where nothing is even trying to be Megala him, because as soon as you try to express and be Megala, you're already giving a definition. It's already too poor, it's already insufficient. But Mela, there is a concept in Choshech, Choshech Shalamayla Meyor, where over there, let's use these terms. We're not talking about Giluyim. Over there, we're talking about an Inyan Atzmi. An Inyan Atzmi is higher than Oyer, higher than any and every level of Oyer. This can be called Choshech Shalamayla Meyor. But Mela, Rashi sees in this Zayis, in this Choshech, in this bitterness, not a Choshech in a negative sense that there's an absence of Oyer, but Choshech in a positive sense, that it's a Choshech which is beyond Oyer, beyond any Oyer, beyond any level of Gilui. But Mela, when you deal with a Zayis like that, it's not that the Zayis doesn't need to be Zach. It's not that the Zayis isn't Zach. It's that the Zayis is Zach Be'etzem. The reason why Zach, according to Rashi, doesn't apply to Zayis is because you don't need to put Zach by a Zayis. A Zayis is a Choshech Shalamayla Meyor. A Zayis is higher than any kind of Oyer. Any kind of zachius that you're going to try to attribute to the Zayis is going to rob the Zayis of its atzmistic quality, where it's an inyan atzmi in elokus achoshech shalamayla meyor. The shemen, which comes from the Zayis, the oyer, which comes from the Zayis, now already you have a shtikl nesinus makim for metzias, now you already have a shtikl nesinus makim for choshech. Over there you take a need to make sure that the shemen is zach. But the Zayis itself, according to Rashi, is an inyan atzmi shalamayla meyor, and this inyan doesn't, the Torah doesn't attribute zach to it because there's no need to make sure that it's zach. It's choshech shalamayla meyor. I'll call upon him bekitzer. These are some of the main points that are discussed here in the Sicha in Chelek Yud Aleph, Tetzaveh Aleph.